This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Caroline and Ezra on the all-new evening edition, 6:44 p.m., and we're taking a look at our next story. Well, what's in a name? Well, in fact, millions if you happen to be rich and famous.
Everybody wants a piece of you.
Well, I don't know, but I think Meryl Streep might have some considerations about how people are using her name.
Yeah, well, she certainly does. So she's actually applied to trademark her name, like we said a little earlier, to stop others from exploiting it. She filed it with the U.S. Trademark Office, and this would give her exclusive rights to use her name in the entertainment industry. And that's apparently the in thing, right, among celebs. Like you said, a lot of the kids.
Yeah. Well, what's unusual about this situation is that rather than blocking the production of merchandise such as, you know, perfume, clothes, and toys from using Meryl Streep's name, she's focused on the application to refer to only live televised and movie appearances, as well as speaking engagements and autograph signings. And I'm just wondering whether it's to prevent people from, I guess, creating fake merchandise, or, you know,
well, I don't know about fake merchandise. It's like you know, so the rise of internet marketing, right, would have you know, driven a lot of this, I imagine. And you know, so buy this glorious scarf as worn by Ezra Zayed, for example. Yeah, I'm just using you as an example.
I know. I feel special for all of 2 seconds. But you know, it's something that's also interesting because you know, a lot of analysts are saying that the 68-year-old performer is further along in her career than most who have done so.
It is ageist.
And of course, there's a question mark about, I guess, the use of the law to protect their names from unauthorized commercial use.
Yeah, well, apparently this is, you know, what happens with fame. It's not just about money and being known. Your name is super special. I would love to do this. Nobody wants my name. Even if I say please, nobody wants it. But you know what? I'm not the only one. Not everybody can do this. Football manager Alex Ferguson, you might have heard of him. He tried and failed to trademark his name in 2005, and a judge ruled the requested mark was devoid of any distinctive character. A bit embarrassing that. Know thyself, they say.
I feel like the judge might have been from Liverpool or something like that. I don't know. For more on the practice of trademarking one's name, we have Lim Eng Leong, who is a trademark manager at Henry Go & Co. Eng Leong, thank you for being with us on the program. Tell us a little bit more about this, and with regards to Meryl Streep and trademarking her name, do you think it's a good idea?
My quick answer to that is why not? Because I think it's smart for celebrities to do that. For celebrities, their name is more than just a personal name. It's their own personal brand. So trademarking is definitely a smart move by celebrities, I believe. I'm sure you have read, even in that same BBC article, you've seen famous people like Paris Hilton, Taylor Swift, and now, of course, Meryl Streep. Celebrity from an older generation now even come to the realization that protecting their name as an IP is very important.
Yep. And what exactly does trademarking one's name, I'm preparing myself here, entitle you to?
In short, if you have a registered trademark, that gives you the exclusive right to deal with that trademark, that name that you have registered in relation to the goods and services that you have designated. What I mean by that is that if you are to do a search in the trademark database, then you will see that these names are usually in association with a very specific class of goods or services. Go-to classes will be like cosmetics, perfumes, that's class 3, clothing, footwear, that's class 25, toys, merchandise, class 28, and then like someone like Meryl Streep, you saw the example for entertainment services, that will be class 41. So when they designate these classes, I mean, if they have the budget, they probably might file, you know, across a wide variety of classes. That basically gives them a very good protection in terms of exclusivity. Yeah.
All right. And Lim, the internet feels very much like the Wild Wild West. I mean, do you really think that trademarking actually protects people's names from being used online?
Actually, trademark is just one way of protecting that famous name. So what a lot of celebrities do is also go the extra mile, which is to protect their name as a domain name. Because the last thing you would want as a famous person is that someone cyber squats your name. Ever since domain names can be, you know, available for registration by literally anyone. Celebrity cyber squatting has been happening. So you have a lot of famous people which register domain names, LadyGaga.com, and not just .com, but maybe LadyGaga.biz, LadyGaga.net, in all variations of top-level domain names, they would cast a very wide net. So on one hand, they trademark across a wide variety of classes, and on the other hand, they would file registration for domain names for a wide variety of top-level domain names.
Right. And do we know if there are any local celebrities that have trademarked their names?
Yeah, I did a bit of research, and I was quite surprised that not many Malaysian celebrities, I think, have come to the realization of how important it is to really protect their personal brand. So I did a quick search using the Malaysian IT Office online database. So when I checked Siti Nohaliza, thankfully, she did file a trademark in 2004. It's already registered in Class 35, and this Class 35 actually protects her name for advertising, artist management services, business services, etc., etc. But I think there are more potential than just this Class 35. So, for example, I think Siti Nohaliza has this famous cosmetic brand, Simplicity.
Yeah.
When I checked Simplicity, it is also registered, so that's good. And I did a quick search of what are the other famous celebrities in Malaysia, but when I checked Sheila Majid or the late Sudirman, those are not protected. And then, of course, P. Ramlee, that's registered, but I don't think it's by the estate of the late P. Ramlee, but it's, for example, P. Ramlee, the musical, is registered as a trademark in Class 41 for entertainment services. But I think that's perhaps by the company that's behind the musical production. Another great example, I think, of a smart local celebrity that has protected her personal brand would be Niloufar, because she has a very famous and thriving business for headscarves. So she has registered a trademark since 2015 for headscarves in Class 25. So the trend that I see is that a lot of local celebrities, when they have a thriving business other than their own musical careers, that would usually push them to look into protecting their personal names as a trademark, because they have a business that use their name as the brand, as the image of those products.
Right.
Well, thank you very much for that, Eng Leong, for breaking all of that down for us. That was Lim Eng Leong, the trademark manager over at Henry Go & Co. And, you know, for Eng Leong, I mean, he's very happy with Niloufar's, you know, decision, as well as Siti Nohaliza. They're protecting their names and, I guess, all of the potential benefits that come with that in terms of all the businesses that they have, right? So it's not just about clothing, it's about cosmetics, it's about a whole range of potential opportunities.
It is, but it is also interesting that they only look into it once they begin to diversify, right? So as an artist, you don't really think about it just like that. Yeah.
Call us at 03-771-09000 if you want to chime in on the conversation. We've got some music by Vampire Weekend, A-Punk, BFM 89.9.
Bruce Freddie Morrissey. BFM 89.9.
6 minutes to seven. And of course, earlier we were speaking about why Meryl Streep had applied to trademark her name. And of course, you know, it's something that a lot of folks do in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
We're going to cross over now to Kutsia Kar, the former chief operating officer of the Star Radio Group. Kutsia, you've been involved in, I guess, the creation of local celebrities, specifically in the radio industry. Walk us through how this is usually done.
Well, I can give you a comparison of what it used to be and what it is right now. Previously, it would be basically someone who would come for an audition or someone who was already exposed into the entertainment world. For example, someone who's already a host or an actor or an actress or someone who emceed a lot or is a stand-up comedian, someone who has an engagement level with the audience. That would be the first step into becoming, for example, a radio personality. But nowadays, some radio stations actually take a look first at the social media influencers and how many followers they have. So in the end, it could come down to whether person A or person B gets hired to be the next big thing on someone's breakfast show. Could boil down to how many followers they have on Instagram and on Twitter and on Facebook.
Oh, that's right. It's all about how many followers you have online nowadays.
Unfortunately, but you know, like Bitcoin, it's unpredictable. You know, it can go up one day and go down the next, because unfortunately, a lot of social media influencers, they haven't gone through the entire process of, you know, making appearances, engaging with the audience. And sometimes they don't have the benefit of a manager who will tell them what kind of filters they should be having when voicing opinions or making YouTube videos. Or, you know, recently we had a celebrity who got into a bit of trouble because, you know, he had a live stream or something where he didn't look quite altogether there, apparently, and some of his fans got upset, you know. So those sort of things actually play a huge role. So today you could be a social media influencer with a breakfast show on a radio station, and you could have 2 million followers on your IG account, and then tomorrow you say something where you blow yourself up, and then overnight, you know, your fans turn on you, and you might also lose your gig. So, you know, really, here today, gone tomorrow, has never been truer.
Kutsia, in your opinion, which Malaysian celebrities should trademark their names, and why?
The national treasures like Siti Nurhaliza, obviously, just like what the person before me had said as well, definitely. And also, I mean, I know that we have national treasures who have passed on, but whether or not their next of kin or guardians of their estate would also trademark, you know, their name so that their image or likeness is not exploited for commercial purposes.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kutsia, for weighing in. That was Kutsia Kahar, a radio personality and former COO of the Star Radio Group. I feel like the first thing that Caroline and I are doing tomorrow is just, you know, let's just trademark our names now.
Okay.
I mean,
I said nobody wants it. I've said please many times.
But we have to do it anyway.
Yeah.
You just never know. You just never know.
Yeah.
Now, Caroline, you remember DuckTales from way back when?
Is that the one?
That's right, the cartoon. Well, there is a brand new take on the classic cartoon series. They've rebooted it on Disney XD. And coming up on At The Movies, of course, fanboy Uma Pagan Ampike Pagan speaks to two of the show's creators. That's coming your way after the 7 o'clock news. Here's some music by Elvis Costello. Welcome to The Working Week on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.